Well, what a week this has been, huh? Little heavy and in the news and things going on. And so actually, before I start my talk today, I would actually like to read a part of a letter to you that came from Ken Gordon, who is the spiritual leader of Centers for Spiritual Living as an entire organization, and is talking about the first shootings that happened this week. He says, "Our hearts are broken open once again by senseless violence and unjustifiable use of force against African Americans in the United States. Alton Sterling and Philando Castile are the latest names added to a list that is far too long. Like many, I am tempted to decry a growing epidemic. But the truth is, this violence is not new. What is new is the social media and cell phone cameras that have raised the level of general awareness of a persistent issue. And let us be clear about what the issue is. This is not a policing issue, nor is it a gun issue. This is a consciousness issue. Our modern technology is giving us a gift. The gift is to see what is really going on. Our social media reveals that which has always been true, that we are all connected. To quote Mother Teresa, we belong to each other. Through this connection, we see the devastating pain and discomfort that comes when we engage in behavior that breaks the bond of that inherent spiritual connection. We must be willing to be uncomfortable and to stay uncomfortable. What we do as we sit in this discomfort, what is it that we do as we sit in this discomfort once again? It is time to come together and feel our collective pain so that we may reestablish our sacred covenant of belonging to one another. Once established in this bond, we must act in accordance with it. This is not just a call to prayer. This is a call to act. To act in affirmation of our sacred connection to the one life of all. I encourage you to take time to pray, and I encourage you to take time to discern what you can do to add to the awakening of humanity to its spiritual magnificence. This is a time to affirm that all life is sacred, that hashtag Black Lives Matter, and to do what is ours to do in creating a world that works for everyone. We can all do something. Read a book, take a class, join a movement. And we must. There are no quick and easy answers. There is only the measure of our willingness to create change." And I love that. This is nothing new. What is new is our awareness of what is going on. And so we are being called forward to do something, to be the change that we want to see. And what I really believe is all this that we see going on right now is really, really hard labor pains that we are going through as a culture and as a world, as humanity right now, as we are giving birth to something new, as we are giving birth to a world that works for everyone, as we are giving birth to a world of equality and brotherhood and love, as we are waking up to that. But what I also know at the same time is collectively, we are evolving. I see that all over the place. I see that there are more people in this country today volunteering than ever before. People who are wanting to be of service. People who are working hard at embracing diversity. People who are working hard at making a difference in the world. There are more people who are taking yoga classes and who are practicing meditation and who call themselves spiritual, not religious. And part of that being spiritual is about being connected to everyone and everything. So even though this is a really hard time, I don't want you to lose heart. What I want you to do is know this is part of our evolution and to consciously participate in that evolution. To make the choices in your own life to create a world that works for everyone, a world of equality. And so the invitation is to act from your spirit, because that's where your spirit already comes from. Oneness and love and connection and wanting to care for each other. Ray said something about kindness is the greatest human quality. That's where we all want to come from. So do your spiritual practice and listen to your heart and listen to your soul and be a part of that change. And remember, we belong to each other. And that's what we're creating here. And so from there, I actually move into my talk that I had planned for today. And so we are actually, this is our third week in a series today of Deepak Chopra's Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And so what he is talking about in the chapters that we are looking at today is about the law of desire and intention and the law of karma or cause and effect. And so I'm going to be talking about that, the law of desire and intention and cause and effect, and how that overlaps with or coincides with the teachings of the Science of Mind and what we teach at Centers for Spiritual Living. And so in his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, Deepak Chopra says, "The fifth law of success is the law of intention and desire. This law is based on the fact that energy and information exist everywhere in nature. In fact, at the level of the quantum field, there is nothing other than energy and information. The quantum field is just another label for the field of pure consciousness or pure potentiality. And this quantum field is influenced by intention and desire." And so we begin then with that very premise that we live in this field. We live in this field that Deepak calls pure potentiality. That means that we live in this unlimited universe, this universe that is filled with possibility and filled with potential, that it is a universe of boundless good. And so we call that field by many different names. We call it the presence of spirit, or we call it the presence of the divine. We call it God or Buddha mind or Brahman or consciousness. We live in this field of consciousness. And so that one field that we're talking about, that power and that presence and that principle contains within it the potential and the ability to create anything. It contains that within itself already. Anything that we can dream up or desire, it already contains within it as un-yet expressed potential. And so it manifests the desires and the things of this world by becoming that thing itself, by manifesting itself from the realm of potentiality, that invisible realm, into the realm as manifest form. And one of the core concepts of Science of Mind says, God is the source of all that is, and God is all that is. Everything in the universe is made of God's substance and is a unique, individualized expression of God. Everything comes from God and is God as form. Another one of those core concepts in part says, all good is eternally available and ready to flow into human experience. All of that potential is available for us. And so that field that Deepak Chopra talks about, Ernest Holmes calls mind. That's what he's talking about in the science of mind. As we align ourselves with the qualities that we want to experience, we access that and download it into our lives. And so we call that things like the absolute or the presence of the infinite or principle of infinite possibilities. But the thing to know is that it is everywhere present, in and through everything, throughout all time, throughout space, ever present and available, that it's around us, that it is within us, and that it fills our lives all of the time. And so I know that all of us in this room have things that we want to create in our lives, things that we want to do or to be or to have. And so that's what he's talking about in this book, is creating those things that we desire, having success in all those areas of our life. And so he is then giving us a tool to access that field, to access that unformed good, and then to bring that specific good into our lives in the way that we want to experience. And so it doesn't matter if you're talking about having a new car or a new career, or if you're talking about having a new home or a new mate, or peace and equality in the world, or abundance. It doesn't matter what of those things you're wanting to create. They're all available there. And so the tool that Deepak gives us in this particular lesson is twofold. One is having a clear intention about what it is that you want to create. And the second part of that is about keeping your attention on your intention. And so in order to keep your attention on your intention, what that means then is you have to take your focus off of what isn't working. You have to take your focus off of what you don't have, of what you aren't experienced, of what there isn't enough of what it is that you want that you don't have. You need to take your focus off of that and put your eye on the goal. Keep your focus on where you want to go and what you want it to be like. That's how you keep your attention on your intention, by focusing on where you're heading, not where you've been. And so an example of that might be, say you want to have peace and harmony in your relationship with your spouse. So what that means then is you take your focus off of your mate's shortcomings, and you take your focus off of the things that your mate does that are irritating to you and their faults. It means you stop judging those things and focusing on them. Instead, you put your attention on the peace and the harmony that you want to create. You know what else it means? It means you quit complaining. It means you quit complaining to your spouse about how they're not doing X, Y, and Z, and it means you quit complaining to your friends how terrible your spouse is because they never do this particular thing. You put your unwavering attention on the goal of creating peace and harmony. You put your attention on the goal, on the intention of having peace and harmony. So that means also, not just is your attention on the goal, but it means that your actions and your thinking and your words line up with that intention. They take you in that direction. That's putting your energy towards that. It's not just your thought force, it's what you're saying and doing and how you're acting as well. So you do that unwaveringly. Ernest Holmes tells us to turn entirely away from the condition and affirm the truth. Affirm what it is that you desire. That's how we open ourselves to that realm. Because you know what? We can't hold two opposing thoughts at the same time. You can't hold a thought, there's peace in my relationship now, and what an idiot this person is. You can't go in two different directions at the same time. You can't hold two opposing thoughts at the same time. And so Deepak Chopra says, whatever you put your attention on will grow stronger in your life. Whatever you take your attention away from will wither, disintegrate, and disappear. Think about it. If you take your attention and your energy and your focus off of the relationship that you're having or off of the friendship that you're having for long enough, for an extended period of time, you take your focus and energy off of that relationship, what will happen to it? Eventually, it will wither away and die. Eventually, it will cease to thrive because you've taken your life energy and your focus from it. And what about if you took all of your focus and energy off of your job at work? Eventually, it would fall apart and you would no longer have that job. If you took all of your attention off of your studies and you're a student in school, you would fail the class. You have to keep things alive by your energy and your attention. And even more than that, what if you took your focus and your energy and your attention off of the relationship that you're in and you put it on a new relationship? What would happen then? Certainly, this one is going to thrive and grow, and this one's going to die and disintegrate. It's the same thing. What we put our life force energy into and our intention and our focus onto grows and thrives and becomes more. What we take it away from loses the energy of us keeping it alive, and eventually it has to dissipate and it has to disappear. So instead, when we focus our energy on that which we desire, when we give it our energy and our attention, and trust that we are on our way to having that thing, somehow, some magical thing happens that the universe starts orchestrating things for us so that it starts coming towards us and falls into our lives. Simply by our intention and attention of keeping it on the goal. And you know what? We don't have to know how it's going to happen. Ours isn't to know how to make it happen. Ours is to know the what it is that we want. And ours is to know the why. Why is it that I want this thing? I want this new job, but why do I want this new job? I want this new job because it's going to give me an opportunity to express myself in a way that's going to be a benefit to the world or the industry that you're in. I want this new job because that is going to make me feel successful and fulfilled and productive in what I do. I want that job because that particular job, because it fits with my inner qualities and characteristics and personality. I want that job because it's going to bring me abundance and a sense of ease in my life. Why do I want the particular type of home that I want? I want that home because in here, I think, what is home? It's going to feel like a sanctuary to me. It's going to be a place that I can relax and feel nurtured and rejuvenated and feel safe and feel good. So we have to know what it is in form that we want and what is going to be the result of what it is that we want. Because those are two things that we want that overlap. If you just say you want the home without saying it's going to feel like this, you may end up somewhere in a home that doesn't feel like you want it to feel. So it's really important to get clear on what it is that it's going to feel like, what the benefit is going to be from it, what is the result going to be from having that thing that you want. So your job is to get clear about what it is that you want and to get clear about why you want it and to get clear about what feelings you're going to have as a result of having that thing in your life. Then you intend those things. Then you do spiritual mind treatment around all of those things, the feelings and the result and what it's going to bring about. Then you affirm that. Then you sit down and journal about it and bring it to life. Paint the picture of what it's going to be like and how you're going to feel and what it's going to be like to give it your life force energy and bring it to life. That's part of how we keep our attention on the intention. We bring it to life by giving it our energy. That's the law of attraction. That's the law of cause and effect. We create the cause in consciousness so the effect will show up in form. And what learning about that law of cause and effect is about, what learning about intention and desire is not about, it is not about using it as a tool to beat yourself up. It is not about using it as a tool to say, how did I cause this in my life? What's wrong with me that I'm experiencing this thing that I didn't intend or that I didn't want? It's not to be used as a tool to beat yourself up. It's a tool to move you forward in your life. It's a tool to create what you want from here. Now that I'm standing right here, where do I want to go from here? So it's a tool for what you want now, not about the future. It would be as if you're running a marathon and you got a blister on your heel. Would it work for you to stop and say, what is it? Did I choose the wrong socks? Or did I not break these shoes in well enough? Or is it that I got my mother's thin skin so I just get blisters easily? Or did I not train long enough? Those questions do not serve you in reaching your goal. What serves you in reaching your goal is to say, what do I need to do now to move towards that goal? And maybe that's put moleskin on or something. It's not going to serve you to look behind you how I got here at that moment. It's about what do I need to do in order to get to where I want to go. Deepak Chopra tells us not to struggle against the present. Remember? That's giving it your energy. It just keeps it alive. Not to struggle against the present, but to accept it and then to ask yourself, what is this here to help me understand? Then you intend the future from there. And you know what I know for sure? What I believe with every single cell in my body? I really believe that when we have things that happen in our life that feel catastrophic, that feel uncomfortable, that are hugely challenging to us, they are always there to stretch us and to grow us and to take us somewhere that our soul wants to go. They are always there in the big picture to serve us. They're taking us somewhere. They are enabling us to grow and to stretch and to grow wings and to fly in a way that we would not do had this particular challenge not been in our life. And so when we are willing to ask in the moment then, what is this here to help me understand this thing that I didn't intend in my life? That's how we grow. That's how we evolve. And the reason that we feel dissatisfied in the first place is because our soul is calling us to grow. Our soul is calling us to expand and to spread those wings and to fly. That's why there's a dissatisfaction in the thing that doesn't feel like it's working. We want to grow somewhere else. And so instead of saying, how did I create this in my life? How did I get here? Ask yourself, or what did I believe that brought me to this place? Or what choices did I make that led to this particular place in my life? Ask yourself, what can I learn from this experience that I'm growing through? What message is the universe trying to give me? What message is my higher self trying to get me to understand and to get and to know? Is it that we are all one? Is it that love is the only thing that matters? Is it that you in every moment of your life matter, and that's why you've been in the relationship with a person who hasn't been treating you right, and that's what your soul's getting you to try to understand, that I matter? Your soul knows the answer to what is the purpose of this thing in your life, and where is it wanting to take you? To ask yourself, what does my soul want me to get in this moment? What does my soul want me to understand or to know? And then listen. Get quiet and listen. Journal. Write about it. Do what you need to do to hear that voice. And then follow that spiritual guidance that you get. Life is filled with intelligence. Everything is permeated with that intelligence. And everything in your life already contains the seeds for the best good that you can imagine. Everything is taking you to a greater experience of good, even when you can't see it in the moment. And so part of the invitation is to trust that while we're in the stuff that seems icky and the stuff that seems hard. You get to stomp your foot and say, damn it, this is not what I wanted to experience. This is not what I intended. You get to go there, and then you get to intend where you want to go. Don't stay stuck there. This is taking you somewhere really good. And so Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, Centers for Spiritual Living, says, the will of life has only to be life. The will of that which is infinite can never be finite. Everything, then, should tend to expansion and multiplication in the divine plan. That is the will of God. It has to be beauty and truth and harmony. He goes on to say, anything that will enable us to express greater life, greater happiness, greater power, so long as it does not harm anyone, must be the will of God for us. The will of God for you is to have the best life you can imagine having. That's the will of God for you, to experience the greatest good that you could imagine. So know that life wants for you the best. Know that life wants the greatest good for you and your best life. Know also that the potential for that best life that you want to live is present here in the ethers. It's already available in that invisible realm, in that infinite realm. That infinite realm that you already live in, that you are a part of, and that is a part of you. The life of the divine, that infinite realm, is all there is. That infinite realm is all there is. We're living in it now. And so my invitation to you is to get clear about what it is that you want. And to set your intention to really have that thing. Set an intention. This is where I'm going. Claim it. Know it. And then keep your attention on your intention. Keep your attention on where you're wanting to go, not on where you've been. And then let everything just fall into place to bring that about. Let it show up in the myriad of ways through a myriad of people and situations and circumstances and opportunities to show up in your life. And it may not happen overnight. It might not happen today or tomorrow or this week, but it will happen if you hold to it. Ernest Holmes tells us you must hold to the idea until it shows up in manifest form. Hold to that goal. Don't let it go. And trust that it will happen. And by that, you will have caused it to be so in your life. And so blessings to every single one of you, mighty and powerful creators of your life and creators of the world that we want to live in and that we want to be a part of. And blessings to your own self-discovery of your best self and your best life. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer, that which we call spiritual mind treatment. And so how good it is to be answering this call of our own souls to turn to this place of communion, to turn to this place of remembrance inside of us, where there is truly one, that we are indeed a part of that infinite realm. A part of that one mind and that one life and that one being and that one presence that we live and move and walk and breathe and experience our lives in this presence. And so I know that we walk in this presence in everything that we do, for it permeates everything. And not only is it all around us, but that same infinite realm and presence of yes lives inside of us. For that is what we have come from, and that is what we are created out of, that's what we are made of, and that is what we are here expressing as, that infinite presence, that magnificence of life, that opulence of the universe, that good without bounds. That is the life that we are living, and that is the presence that is unfolding itself today, here, within and through and as each one of us. And so I know the good that we are seeking right now is our soul's call to move forward on the path toward the realization of that thing. Because it is as we walk this path that we grow and prosper and unfold and realize to a greater degree who and what we really are. That presence here in form. And so I recognize not as that just the truth for each one of us, but right now that presence is unfolding itself as love and as connection and as equality, as understanding and compassion and unity and brotherhood through all of us. For these labor pains that we are in right now is us giving birth to a new way of being in this world. A new way of being in this country, a new way of being with each other. For yes, indeed, we belong to each other. For we are all brothers and sisters. We are all of this one presence and this one life. And so today I claim for each of us that we are stepping into that light and that love and that connection and oneness in a whole new way, a way that is profound, a way that is powerful, a way that is changing our lives and the lives of everybody that we come in contact with. And so I just claim and know that love is the most powerful force in this universe, and that love is having its way today, here, in this moment. And in this moment, and in this moment, and in this moment. And so we stand in that light. And I say, thank you, God, for this understanding, for this realization, and for the fact that this is what is happening now through us. And so I say, thank you, God, for this as it unfolds in our lives and in the lives of everyone around us. And I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is done because it is the truth. And I say, thank you, God, for this, and so it is.